teaching and research institution. For example, when we seek large-scale grants for projects like the Blue Water Supercomputer, we're currently in a position to pledge to staff the facility with the best and the brightest technicians and researchers available nationally and internationally. In the CS system, the ability to hire critical talent outside the state is restricted, jeopardizing the university's ability to hire specialized expertise required for grant-funded projects and other critical programs. Furthermore, converting AP positions into a system that evaluates essential employment decisions on the basis of seniority and bumping is untenable. Bumping severely and irreparably disrupts operations, resulting in the loss of key employees with the requisite skills and specialized institutional knowledge critical for the continuation of successful operations. In conclusion, in a globally competitive setting, where flexibility and adaptability are essential in facing the challenges of a Tier 1 academic institution, converting AP positions to the rule-based civil service system will have a far-reaching and devastating impact. Teaching, research, public service, and economic development are the cornerstone of the university's mission and vision. The ability to sustain and enhance the quality of our mission is threatened by the possible conversion of AP positions to civil service and by the loss of the campus exemption authority. Thus, please consider the potential institutional impact prior to taking action. We urge the President of the University of Illinois and the Board of Trustees, including the three members who also serve on the Merit Board, to recognize the irreplaceable value and impact of APs to the teaching, research, public service, and economic development functions, which allows the university to most effectively respond to the needs of the citizens, and therefore to oppose the reclassification of AP positions to civil service. And we ask the board to oppose any activity intended to remove exemption authority from campus. And we also respectfully request that CAP be given an opportunity to meet with the BOT Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Subcommittee to discuss this important issue in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Mark Thompson.
Good afternoon. I'm here to ask this board to define the boundaries of academic freedom, and equally important, the definition of academic misconduct as it pertains to significant current events. Of academic freedom, one ventures into the territory of its evil neighbor, academic misconduct. At many universities, those boundaries are set by the administration, as misconduct can have extremely negative outcomes for the institution as a whole. For instance, when professors intentionally and aggressively work to mold the minds of their students through half-truths and lies of omission and develop curriculums that are designed to undermine the Republic, calling for revolution, and then actively working towards that end, this becomes treasonous and makes the university look horrible, even complicit, as in the recent case of Bill Ayers. When education becomes political indoctrination, there is an egregious violation of the public trust, which damages the social contract so crucial to the university's existence. When political preaching and indoctrination are allowed free rein, the standards of academic integrity are forsaken, and falsehoods, distortions, and multiple unsubstantiated claims in support of a political agenda masquerade as legitimate scholarship. When a U of I professor states they are out to dismantle the capitalist system brick by brick and rebuild it in a socialist framework, and then creates, develops, and implements programs to do that very thing, he is guilty of academic misconduct. Intentionally disregarding such obvious violations reflects extremely poorly on this university and its administration, and calls to question why. Today, it is your responsibility to define that those who educate at the U of I do not have free rein to undermine the Republic, that words matter, that actions have consequences, that this university recognizes its core mission is education, and to an equal degree, protecting all students from mental abuse, including indoctrination. Academic misconduct is rampant at this university, within a faculty that is charged with monitoring its own. The fox is truly guarding the hen house. Bill Ayers is as famous a radical communist professor as there is on the planet. Yet there are many other professors working just as diligently to undermine this republic, the infamous fifth column in education. Many of these enabled by the University of Illinois, hiding behind an undefined definition of academic freedom, hiding behind those who lack the determination or the desire to investigate misconduct, as they are often complicit in the revolutionary agenda. Now the trillion-dollar question, will you actually do anything in response to me being here today? I have to ask that question considering that previous presidents, White and Eikenberry, Chairman Kennedy, and this same board blocked my every effort to bring Bill Ayers to justice. Having him retired and avoiding investigation for academic misconduct was a get-out-of-jail-free card for both him and the U of I. Guilty as hell, free as a bird rings true again. The socialist subversion of education is not just the gorilla in the room. It is the fifth column that has paved the way for the radical coup in Washington, D.C. this very day and the coming insurrection. Now I ask you, do you folks consider intentional actions to have consequences? Is this university going to ignore professors who make statements that clearly define their anti-American ideology within the classroom and then use the classroom as a conduit to brainwash students and promote the same anti-American mentality outside the classroom, implementing mechanisms that actively work to destroy the republic? Will this university block investigations as they did when I worked to have Bill Ayers investigated? Will this board define the boundaries? Or will it continue to ignore the very real damage that the U of I faculty and past administrators have imparted on the republic? Set the boundaries and enforce them, or explain why you won't. I should give thanks where thanks is due. Thank you, God, for the acceleration of knowledge we have with the internet. It's a wonderful tool, a seemingly infinite source of information in real time. The very key the radicals in government sought the key to turn it off. The very reason one U of I Marxist professor has worked and is working overtime to remove it from the free market and deliver it to that same radical government to control. Its propaganda value in the coming new world will be priceless, excuse me. And on two final notes, I've worked a lot with Extension, volunteered for 25 years. It's a wonderful thing on a local level. And as far as hats, I've also worked against zoning for many years in Champaign County, and I know an awful lot about windmills. And to sum it up, the economic return on a windmill doesn't exist, and they have a visual footprint and a carbon footprint that would make King Kong and Godzilla run in fear. All it is a piece of art.
Next up is Miss Amy Allen.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Amy Allen, and I'm a junior in civil engineering at the Urbana campus. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today on a subject of great importance, the wind turbine project. It was with great disappointment that we learned only last week that the wind turbine would not be on the board agenda for today, and instead that the university was seeking yet another grant extension from the Clean Energy Community Foundation and considering re-siting the project. Re-siting the turbine would not resolve issues with the local community and would significantly drive up costs and delays, effectively killing the project. We ask that you approve the contract for the wind turbine in June or abandon it instead of consigning it to death by 1,000 cuts. The turbine project seeks to install a 1.65 megawatt, Westis Wind Turbine on the South Farms